This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We've been taking a close look at our city council runoff races, giving the candidates a chance to visit and explain why you want to get, why you should get why they should get your vote. Today, we meet with two candidates from the June 10th runoff for District 6. Greg Brockhaus came away with 36% of the vote on May, and also Melissa Cabello-Haverda got 20%. We're going to hear opening remarks and then go to the questions. Melissa Cabello-Haverda won the coin toss. She's going to go first. Each candidate gets a minute to answer questions. If they try to position or characterize the opponent candidate, then they get a chance to respond. So let's go ahead and open up with the opening remarks. And so Melissa Cabello-Haverda, go first.
Okay. Well, thank you, David. Good afternoon, and thanks for the opportunity to hold this forum and get more people engaged and informed. I am a mother of three, a wife of 19 years, an attorney, a native of San Antonio, and a native of District 6. I think a good illustration of who I am can be told through a story from my childhood. My grandfather was a pillar in my life. He was a hardworking man, a carpenter, and he taught me a lot about respect and my own confidence in myself. When I was a kid, we decided to go fishing at Woodlawn Lake. As we took our walk, I noticed that he was walking in the street and I was walking in the grass. I looked up at him and asked him why he didn't have sidewalks in his neighborhood. My grandfather looked down at me, laughed, put his hand on my shoulder and said, Mija, ¿por qué no les importa? They don't care about us. That conversation with my grandfather lit a fire in me that burns to this day. The day I graduated from law school, my grandfather was not physically there, but his words played over and over in my mind. I hear those words in my daily life. People like my grandfather embody the spirit of San Antonio, a community that pulls together to help each other and get things done. I married my high school sweetheart, Jason, and we decided early on that we were going to get involved in the community. I'm proud of the work he does, assistant principal at a middle school, and he's helping children with very grown-up problems, you know, drugs, homelessness, absent parents, and works beyond his job description, as many educators do, to make sure that these kids have a shot in life, and we share that passion. I serve on the board of the Magic Children's Theater, where I'm proud to say we don't turn any kid away for the lack of ability to pay. They offer access to the arts to kids that otherwise don't have the fun of live theater. We love helping, but we get a lot more out of it than we put into it. And that's what San Antonio is about, helping each other out, bringing community together. And I want to continue that work in the community.
All right. Now, Greg Brockhaus.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I appreciate any opportunity we have to talk about our community and the future of District 6 in San Antonio, and I want to make sure I thank Melissa and congratulate her on making the runoff and, you know, and sitting next to us here today, you know, to talk about what we believe is the future of our community, neighborhood by neighborhood, and what we see as the future for San Antonio. So any opportunity we have, and you got to credit anybody. There was 8 total people in the race, and anybody who puts their name on a ballot deserves respect. It takes courage to do that because we're all in it for what's best for San Antonio. But we all have something slightly different or different ideas or thoughts on how we're going to get that done. And today we're going to have that opportunity to talk that through, and I appreciate that. I think it's most important to start with my wife. We have 5 children. My wife and I have been together for 10 years now. She's a Northside educator herself in District 6 at Passmore Elementary School. And right now she is probably struggling through her last few days of school teaching first grade. So I'm very blessed with that, my family, and we are lifelong residents at this point. We've sold out in District 6, and we enjoy what we're doing. We love our community, and that's why we're in this race. I graduated high school from John Jay, which is in District 6, and then I joined the United States Air Force, went active duty, served 10 years, almost 10 years in the military. And when I had the opportunity, came right back to San Antonio, right back to District 6, where I worked through my banking career, and then I got into small business development consulting, and political consulting, and I do that work in District 6 as well. So, you know, I'm in this race for nothing more than just the opportunity to make an argument, talk about what I believe is best for our community. And win or lose at the end of the day, because a runoff, anything can happen. But the way I view this is I'm giving it everything I have, my team, my family, all of us. And if Melissa's blessed enough to win, I'll be fully supportive of her. But if my team and I are able to get this done, we're going to commit to doing the best we possibly can and working hard for the residents and the citizens of District 6, and that's why we're in this.
Okay, now let's go to questions from our listeners. We had a question on our voicemail. Let's go ahead and play that, and Greg Brockhaus, you go first in your response.
My name is Michael. I personally oppose the changes that they're planning to make to the Alamo. I think it is very important that the candidates, including the candidates for mayor, state what their feeling is regarding this and what they plan to do if they are elected, to either continue with the current plan or to change it back to the old way.
Okay, questions about Alamo redesign, and so Greg Brockhaus.
I do believe we need to make changes to the Alamo plan that has been presented. We just went through a bond cycle where we voted through $850 million, and we had citizen input in that, and I think we need that same level of engagement into this master plan. That is a citywide jewel, right? That's the standard of Texas independence, and right now the condition of the Alamo Plaza is nowhere near where anybody wants it. So I think we have to revisit the plan and generate more community and public input in it. Any time I've been involved in anything in my community, in the neighborhoods or wherever, I always fall back on making sure the residents, right, the voters, the citizens of San Antonio have the ultimate say in what's happening. And they're not design experts, right? I mean, most citizens aren't going to understand the architectural or the views or any of those design elements, but what they can tell you is what they believe their community should represent, the historical, the cultural aspects of things, and it has to mirror what we want of our community. So I'd ask to revisit it and go back to the master plan and include more community input so it's representative of who we are and what we want to be and show visitors in the future.
Okay, now Melissa Cavillo-Haverda.
I'm all for sprucing up the Alamo Plaza. You know, I love that area, love being downtown, and it's part of the heart of our city. You know, it's a jewel of our city. I'd like to spruce it up. I know, but a lot of people have strong feelings about the glass wall and the lack of trees. So we need more community engagement. It's not about, what I want. It's about what the community wants for Alamo Plaza, because it belongs to all of us, every district. And it's kind of the heart of San Antonio. I don't personally care for the lack of trees. That I have an issue with that. But again, you know, it's what the community is saying, and I hope we do have more of a say in what the design is of this jewel of our city.
Okay, then let's go to callers. The number to call in if you've got a question for our candidates. We'll take this one question from Hollis. And Hollis, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, David. First, I'd like to thank both candidates for participating in this forum on TPR today. After the general election, at least it became evident that the primary issue promoted by former candidate Rick Trevino, who earned 20% of the vote within District 6, really resonated with our citizens. And I'd like to know what each candidate would like to tell those energized voters that recently went to the polls to advance the cause of a living wage, where they stand on this issue, and what they're committed to doing to address this concern. Thanks.
Okay. All right, then. So, Melissa, you go first. A living wage.
Okay. I do support a living wage for both the public and private sector. San Antonio is segregated by wealth. There's no doubt about that. We see it in the district. We see it in the city. We're a very diverse community, and I see education as a solution to that. Education is everyone's business, not just the school boards. It's an equalizer. My husband's an educator. Greg's wife is an educator. They're doing the hard work to ensure that we close the economic gap. The research is out there. You know, pre-K is an important part of success, and we need to be sure that our students are not falling behind. So I think we start with education.
All right. And now Greg Brockhaus.
Yeah, no, I think Rick did fantastic in a campaign because he worked hard and he spoke to something that's really unsaid in the community. District 6 is a tale of two sides, right? It's what happens outside Loop 410, which versus what happens inside. And I know Rick worked hard. I think he won four or five precincts. And his message resonated. So I actually did pick up the AFL-CIO endorsement because I stood in front of them and I said, let's talk about making sure that whoever does business with our city, whoever's working here, has an opportunity to have a living wage so they can put food on their table, take care of their educational opportunities, and do what's right by their families. So I jumped all over that issue, and I'll be honest with you. Rick opened my eyes to it at the beginning of it because it's one of those things that you can talk about. But when I saw the passion and then I started knocking the doors and, you know, you're competing with opponents, you learn a lot about campaigning and ideas from each other. So I've moved that one up my chart on what is most important, because people at the end of the day care about two things. They care about a good home and a good opportunity to earn a living for their family. We must fight for living wages and ensure we can deliver that for our citizens.
Let's go to break now. We'll come back with more questions for our candidates for District 6 in the runoff. We're speaking with Greg Brockhaus and Melissa Cavillo-Haverda. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. District 6 residents can choose between Greg Brockhaus and Melissa Cabello-Haverda here to represent them on the San Antonio City Council. Election day is Saturday, June the 10th, and we have early voting beginning on Tuesday, May 30. If you've got a question for these candidates, you can give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can send us an email to The Source at tpr.org, and you can tweet us at tprsource. Let's go to another caller, another question, and Andrea, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. So my question to the candidates is, if we've learned anything over the past year or so, it's that I feel people are really tired of political insiders and really want a vote for change. And while change seems to be, you know, kind of the buzzword, the political buzzword right now, I'd really like to hear the candidates talk about how their experiences and their resumes will help bring that needed change to City Hall.
All right. Great question, Andrea. Thank you for calling in. Let's start off first with Melissa. Change.
I agree. I think change is a buzzword right now, but it is a true depiction, I think, of what's happening. Our just some of the people that are in the runoff show that, you know, that not everybody expected some people to be in the runoffs. But, you know, I was born and raised in District 6. My heart is there. And I have some experience working at City Hall. But for the most part, I've been running my own law firm. I have an MBA. I've been raising my children. I just come from the neighborhood. So I feel very strongly that I can help to represent the neighborhoods. I love block walking. It's my favorite thing to do. I'm knocking on doors every day and talking with people about what their opinions are, because the community has a voice. It's not my voice. I want to be the mouthpiece for District 6 and the community, and make sure that I can go sit at the table at City Hall and collaborate. Make sure that I'm bringing everybody together, because one person can't do it all. I need to get, you know, 6 votes to get anything done for the district.
All right, that's 1 minute, and now Greg Brockhaus.
Well, you know, it comes down to, at the end of the day, voters need to compare resumes and ability to get the job done for the community. And I have, I've been a military veteran, so the service and leadership I picked up from 10 years in the military is going to be instrumental. I've been a chief of staff at City Hall and a constituent services manager for 2 separate council people. I understand the machinery of City Hall and how things work at City Hall, but I'm not part of City Hall. My intention, and I'm a small business owner, by the way, I cut paychecks, payroll, I lead and manage people. So I understand expectations of getting the job done. So my goal is to spend 75-80% of my time, wherever I can, in the neighborhoods, taking that knowledge and that experience and putting it in the community. I have been in this race for well over a year. I was 6 to 9 months knocking doors, listening to voters, going to neighborhood meetings, and taking notes and listening well before any other candidate even announced their intentions to get into the race. So I did that because the answers for our community come from the community. And we have an opportunity to go to City Hall and deliver that, but it's going to take experience, leadership, and know-how to make those things happen. I just believe I bring the best resume to that.
We've got a question from our email stack, and this is from Hollis. I would like to know what the candidates will do to ensure that high-speed gigabit internet access will be accessible throughout the city and within District 6. So, Greg Brockhaus.
Well, we do have a major technology divide in our city. And, again, back to the tale of two halves of District 6. You know, you can turn on your computer anywhere in San Antonio, and much in Time Warner Cable will pop up, and they'll charge you 99 cents to $4.99 to access the internet. So we've got internet everywhere. It's just a matter of figuring out how we're going to deliver that to those of our residents that need it most. I mean, we have our kids, and Melissa's husband and my wife are educators. Everything they do is online. They submit their homework. They do their grades. Everything is done online. Well, imagine you're living inside Loop 410. You're in the Edgewood School District, and you don't have access to Wi-Fi. The best you can do is go park in front of a Starbucks or who knows what, trying to gain some level of access and have a credit card to get 30 minutes of internet time. We can't live like that in a technological society like that, and we are leaving people behind when we do it. So we have to partner, I think, with institutions like the Westside Education Training Center, and we have to build that digital, we have to break that digital divide down and create a blanket of free Wi-Fi opportunities for every resident in San Antonio.
Now, Melissa Cavallo-Havarda, can you tell us your solution for bringing internet access to across the district?
Yes, sir. The digital divide is part of the economic segregation, and not only in the district but in the city. I've seen it myself. Cars parked at the library at night to get internet Wi-Fi so that the children can get their homework done. I think the number one thing we have to do is make sure that we have community involvement, make sure that we know the spots that we need to target and put them first. Make sure that they're getting the Wi-Fi that they need to do their homework to get things done. Even to sometimes it's to pay bills. It's a quality of life issue that some things that we take for granted, there's other people that are having trouble doing that. So as long as we are going to the areas that are needed first, I think we need to prioritize that. And so we first need to go to the community and find out where those areas are.
Okay, another caller with a question. Ann, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm so glad you're focusing on the city council runoff races. I just think they're so important. I was reading a national magazine recently, The Atlantic, and I saw an article that was highlighting San Antonio's pre-K for SA program, citing it as an example for other cities across the country. This was a hot topic a few years ago, but I haven't really heard much recently. I would like to know the candidates' position on pre-K for SA. Do they support it? Any plans for its future development?
All right, and thank you for that question. And Melissa, you want to go first?
Yes, I do support pre-K for SA. I mentioned earlier there's research out there that pre-K is necessary in order to make our city successful and to make us competitive. I mean, there's a lot of jobs that we want to bring to this city. There's a lot of talent here, but we need to foster that education for our young ones. And it's something that is I've always been on board with. I stand up for public schools, and I think that pre-K for SA is a wonderful start. I think we need to expand it, though. I think we need to make sure there's more pre-K for SA centers. There's a lot of people that are unfortunately being left out, and we need to expand it to encompass all of the community.
Greg Brockhaus.
I do think we are actually coming up on a review period here very soon on the metrics of pre-K program, the pre-K for SA program in San Antonio. I tell you, the first few things that jump out at me is I don't want the San Antonio City Council having that kind of oversight. I just think when we have educational institutions like Northside Independent School District, we have the SEISD, we have NEISD, we have pros who are educational champions. I think we need to lean on them first and make sure our tax dollars, our money, are going to the right places and the right institutions first and foremost. I look, pre-K is passed and we're moving forward with it. And I think we need to make sure that we sit down with those leaders of pre-K for SA and find out just how effective they have been. Does it deserve and warrant more funding in the future? And if so, how much and where are we going to do it? Because there are multiple issues with everything from transportation to are they meeting the metrics and are growing our children's and their educational minds? Should we be working and partnering more with the Northside Independent School District and the educational pros and experts? So I think it needs a thorough review now that we've got some solid data on it. And let's see and measure the success of it, see if it determines additional funding.
Okay, back to the calls. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a question for our candidates in the runoff for District 6, we've got Greg Brockhaus with us in the studio, along with Melissa Cavallo-Havarda. And Roxanne is on the line. And Roxanne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, yes, sir. I want a particular question for the District 6 candidates. I wanted to make sure, just to be clear, what they plan to do as far as revamping or any plans to revamp the En-ROAD and Highway 90 West area of San Antonio.
Okay, Roxanne, thank you for that question. And that's right in your area. So, Greg Brockhaus.
Right. And look, we have so much work to do, again, inside 410. And when we revamp neighborhoods, we start with infrastructure, streets and sidewalks. I think we need to place a City of San Antonio storefront right up the road from you on Southwest Military right there, the old Blockbuster building. We should be able to bring better access to services to the community. And we have to put them in the community. That includes a senior center in the west side. That includes more opportunity for people to access city services easily. Because if they can't access it easily and we don't make it, for instance, we talked about the Wi-Fi issue, if we don't make it close enough to them, they're not going to engage. So we have to do streets, infrastructure, sidewalks. We have to come in and control crime, and then we have to work on graffiti. The number one thing we can do in neighborhoods is build pride back in them again and help build up homeowners and neighborhood associations. I'm about to launch the most extensive plan, a District 6 plan, and it's going to be up today on my Facebook page, and we're going to mail it this week. It's 12 pages of ideas from you, the citizens and residents of District 6. It is an all-encompassing aspect of what we can do in the community together. And so I'm looking forward to putting that out for you, and you'll be able to see that soon, Roxanne.
Now, Melissa Cabello-Haverda, your solutions for the infrastructure questions.
I agree. We need another field office inside 410. We definitely need a senior center in there. We need to expand the WETSE, that's the Westside Educational Training Center. But we also, especially along Highway 90, we need to help our local businesses. People want to come meet me out in District 6, and I have to take them to a chain restaurant. You know, I want to take them to a local restaurateur or a coffee shop and make sure that we're fostering an environment where local businesses can have access to entrepreneurship. I think that could completely revamp Highway 90 and other parts of our district. So that's something that I'd like to focus on.
The San Antonio City Council is due to redo the dog animal control ordinance. So where are you on that? There's a lot of suggestions in there to improve trying to take away some of these wild animals that we have, wild dogs running our streets. So Melissa, can you talk about what's your position on that?
Yes, I have personally been chased by several dogs while I block walk, so I know that it's the strays are a problem in our area. But so many of them are not true strays. They're owned by somebody. So I think we do need to strengthen the ordinances for pet owners. It's a public safety issue. It's a health issue. And, you know, I think I'd like to expand SNAP, the spay and neuter assistance program. There's their low cost, a high volume clinic that pet owners can access more easily and be more responsible pet owners. And I think that's where we need to start.
And Greg Brockhaus.
Animal care issues are a public safety issue. We have a resident in the Terra Neighborhood Association right off Petranco in Richland Hills who had her arm chewed off by a pit bull. Was in a coma for 8 days, and this happened within the last year. So the pit bull got loose. Why? Because someone's fence line wasn't repaired, right? So we had a code compliance issue that led to an animal care services issue, which led to a dog attack. I will never place the safety of a dog above the safety of a human being. So we have to make sure we strengthen the ordinance so we can hold people accountable who don't meet the rule of law. Now, the problem here also is, which is kind of ridiculous, I'll be honest with you, is we have the animal care services facility is in District 6. I mean, we are right across the street from the ACS facility, and there are tons of stray dogs running up and down old Highway 90 in and around the Edgewood community. So we have a broke system. So what they need is additional funding. We need more animal care officers. We need to increase their pay as well and put pride back in their work. So we have to attack this from multiple levels. It's not just dogs on the street. It's co-compliance, it's public safety, and it is animal care services combined together.
Well, let me follow up with the detailed part of this proposal, because coming before city council, likely they're going to have to decide on whether or not that we're going to have mandatory spay neuter for all animals, all dogs and cats in San Antonio, dogs mainly, because that's really the problem, like you talked about. So would you, and a lot of residents may not feel comfortable with this requirement, but this is something that needs to be decided. So can you go on the record and discuss whether or not you would support a mandatory spay neuter, and let's go first with Melissa.
I see the benefit of a mandatory spay and neuter. I would support it. However, we need to make sure that it's accessible, that people that can't afford, they have a couple of dogs or cats, they can afford to get the spay and neutered. Otherwise, we're just going to be finding people that normally wouldn't be able to afford that. So as long as we make it accessible to everybody, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just want to make sure that everybody can do it.
And Greg Brockhaus.
You know, this is a classic example of the San Antonio City Council putting additional costs on homeowners, right? And I initially, my first pass at it would be I would not be in support of it until I saw the justification for funding and help for citizens. You can't ask them to, again, incur more costs, whether you're raising their CPS energy bills, you're raising their SAWS bills. Money's coming out of their pocket right and left. Now you're going to come and tell them they have to spay and neuter their dog, which could cost anywhere from $35 to $175. I mean, we have to get that under control by using the city resources we currently have and supporting the Animal Care Services Department. So our first pass, I'd tell you, would be a no. I think we have to sit down and make sure that the money is going to the right places first and foremost. And the spay and neuter program, you know, it is successful when we offer free spay and neuter. But again, people have to have transportation, the means to get there. They have to have it's just the timing, getting away from work. I mean, it's much more complex issue than just city council coming down and slamming across the board an additional rate or fee increase or law. So I'm in favor of less regulation in that particular sense, but holding people accountable to the rules we currently have.
Okay, we are continuing our conversation with the District 6 runoff candidates. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. If you've got a question, the number is 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Current city council member for District 6 is Ray Lopez, but he's maxed out because of term limits. He can't run again. That's an open seat. So we've got two candidates who made the runoff from the May 6th election. We've got Greg Brockhaus. He won 36% of the vote that day. And Melissa Cabello-Harvarda came in second with 20% of the vote. Today, the two candidates join us to discuss their vision for San Antonio and for District 6. What are the challenges for this district? It does have a lot of growth, but also has a lot of needs. There's a lot of public safety concerns, demands for access to reliable mass transit. There's drainage concerns. What questions do you have for the candidates from District 6? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. And Andrea G is on the line. Andrea, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm particularly concerned about the level of corporate influence that has been sort of highlighted in our national political scene and has even been creeping into the mayoral race, where you've got corporate and PAC money that's been coming into lots of the several of the races. How will the candidates, or I'd like to know if the candidates know how they will guard against having this sort of influence of money coming into elections and to guard against that once they're in office.
Okay, Andrew, thank you for the call. So Greg Brockhaus, campaign finance reform.
Well, I got to tell you, most of the money in this race is coming from me. I've been saving up for it for a few years now, and I made it a point that the predominant amount of cash spent in my campaign was going to come from my family and myself. So I think the only thing you can do, and that, you know, that leads to a whole discussion on publicly funded elections, and there's a lot that can go into how we remove money from campaigns. But the fact of the matter is, we're not going to. So we have to be very careful who we elect and how they are influenced by those outside sources. So you need independent voices. You need people who are willing to tell people exactly what they think. And we need to do that more often at City Hall, not in executive sessions and behind closed doors. We need to do it out in front, in front of the public on the dais. That way you expose those people who are making pitches and fights and arguments for special interest or big money lobbyists. And there are a lot of them at City Hall, and they are all over the place. We're seeing it right now with the barge contract. So we need leadership and people who aren't afraid to tell people exactly what they think.
Now, Melissa Cabello-Havertha.
You know, when my campaign was entirely grassroots, you know, before every penny I got was either from my own family or people that I knew, just relationships that I'd built up. So I know how difficult it can be to fundraise, because the fact of the matter is you do need to spend some money to run a campaign. And we started off with this $500 cap for everyone, and it's a lot of money, but it doesn't go very far, unfortunately, in a campaign. However, I think the number one issue is with, you know, we have a good start with the $500, and we're all, of course, have to report that. And it's all about transparency, you know. There are zero promises should be made in exchange for a check, and I can guarantee that that's never happened with me. The special interests, you know, there's a lot of people that are trying to put their, a lot of groups that are trying to put their candidate in. So when their issue comes up, they will have their guy or their woman on board. And that's not the case with me. I am completely transparent. I'll answer any question about any check I've received, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to do so.
Now, this brings up the issue of charter review, because trying to pass something that's going to impact campaign finance reform at that level is going to be probably a charter issue. And we do have a charter review commission meeting presently asking for citizens' input. This is an opportunity for many in San Antonio to make major changes to the way that we have local government. Some people are saying we should have moved the municipal election from May to November. Some say stagger the city council term so they all don't happen at the same time. What one person has asked us through email, that he wants to ask this question, whether or not we should have more districts in San Antonio. The city has grown. We keep hearing about the growth of the city. Maybe the districts have gotten so big that it's really hard to deliver the one-on-one services and communications with the constituents. So let me start off by asking you, Melissa, where would you be on adding more districts to San Antonio?
I'm in favor of that. The character of every district in the city are very diverse. Each district is diverse within itself. And it's hard to represent every single person in the district when there's such differences between them. Now, you have to do it. I mean, and I think our council people are doing a great job at it. And it's just, it seems like the character of every neighborhood neighborhood needs to be more, better represented. So I would be in favor of more representation. I don't see how more representation can hurt. I think that as long as we have a voice at City Hall, that's what matters. And having more representation would help that.
Greg Brockhaus.
I am I'm totally in favor of expanding the number of council districts. One council member representing 153 to 157,000 residents is just simply out of control. And you go right up the street in Austin, they're representing 50 to 65,000 per council member. You go over to Houston, it's in the 80s or 90s. So we are excessively higher in representation than all major municipalities here in Texas. So we have to fix that. And that has to be done through the charter amendment process. And it only happens every 2 years. So we have one crack at it to make sure we get our governance structure correct. More representation and more voice is never a bad thing, but we have to do it through the Charter Commission, which means we need to drag in more citizen input and ideas on the things we need to change, because it's not just representation. We can have 14 council members or 15 council members, but if the city manager's running the show and they're just simply following her, then what's the use of increasing council members? We just leave it all with the city manager. So we have to think long and hard about how we govern, period. If we're going to have council members, we need to put the power within them, now that we're paying them as well, to lead, set the policy, and run this community in the hands of the elected officials first.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. You've got a question for our candidates from the runoff for District 6. Beverly is on the line. And Beverly, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My question is related to health and safety issues. San Antonio and Bexar County have a serious drunk driving problem, drinking and driving. And so my question is, do you have any idea of how our city council could work with people in both the public and private sector to address that?
All right, Beverly, thank you for that call. And Greg Brockhaus, dealing with our drinking and driving problem in San Antonio.
Well, when we witnessed that over last month during Fiesta, right, we had record numbers of people getting pulled over drunk, driving drunk or under the influence of alcohol. It's one of the worst aspects, I'll tell you, of our community. It's something that needs immediate fix. Now, from an SAPD perspective, we're understaffed. I mean, we're short over 215, 220 police officers. So, you know, we have officers running all over town and categorizing criminal activity and leaving some, unfortunately, calls unanswered while they're trying to get to higher level priority calls. So we have to staff up the that particular portion of our department. We have to make sure we partner with the Bexar County Sheriff's Department as well, and Sheriff Salazar. And we need to have an all-in effort to make sure we're working not only to stop these people, right, because we have to work with the bar owners. We have to work with Mothers Against Drunk Driving. We have to work with delegate agencies and people to get education and opportunity out there so we can stop these folks from making bad decisions. And the other half of that is we need laws and regulations that are going to hold. It's ridiculous. If you go to mysa.com and they have a list of people that have 6, 7, 8 DWIs, the system is broke. We need accountability, and we need more public safety in that process.
All right, Melissa, DWIs in San Antonio.
We're grateful for the families that sacrifice and answer the call to service. We must ensure that our first responders have equipment, resources, the staffing they need to be to do their important work. I mean, they're putting their lives on the line for us every day. But we have to make it a win-win situation. You know, we can't move forward unless we move forward together. We need people at the table who are level-headed, fair negotiators, budget conscious. And, you know, I've spoken with many neighborhood leaders, and a lot of them are concerned about the DWI issues. It's happening all over the city, unfortunately. So we need to figure out a way to collaborate with all the different law enforcement agencies and make sure that we're getting a public dialogue and doing what the public wants us to do.
All right, another caller, and the number is 210-614-8980 for you to join our conversation with a question for our candidates for District 6, Andrea B. Andrea B., you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask about code compliance and code compliance violations. I live in District 6, and I'm a walker. And so we have so many violators in our district. Sidewalks are being obstructed by cars parking. You have cars being parked, you know, in the front yard. And it just seems like when it comes to code compliance violation, it's kind of neglected. Is there anything to kind of help us with that, to help with the appearance of our district, our property valuation, just the look of our neighborhoods? We've kind of fallen off the off the edge.
All right. All right, Andrea. Thank you for that. So, Melissa, you're first up. What to do about code compliance enforcement?
I really value that question. The rules are in place. You know, it's the enforcement of the rules that's not happening, to her point. I happen to be a disability lawyer, so I'm walking through these neighborhoods, and the busted up sidewalks, I see that all the time. I worry about people in wheelchairs, people who are walking a lot. They're walking in the streets, and then we have to worry about the excessive speeding that's happening in neighborhoods. So this is something that's very close to my heart. I think that we need to make sure that our code compliance officers are well staffed. I've attended many HOA meetings, and they come and they talk with the residents, and some take notes, some don't. Some take them seriously, some don't. So I think it's a training issue. I think we need to make sure that our code compliance officers are understanding the importance of their job and making sure that they're listening to the community, as always, making sure that the community is being heard and we're taking effective action.
All right. Now, Greg Brockhaus, when someone calls the code on you, what's your response?
I got to tell you right now, the first sign of a decline of a neighborhood are code compliance issues, busted up fences, trash, parked cars that don't ever seem to move on yards, busted up sidewalks. And you know, Melissa mentioned a second ago about that. Well, you know, walking in the streets. But in the city of San Antonio, sidewalks are the responsibility of the homeowner. So we got a broken process in that, right? So we could literally be ticketing code compliance-wise thousands of homeowners over destroyed sidewalks. So we have to really think about how we're managing our business at City Hall and making it easier for compliance. But if they don't comply, we make it harder in payments and fees, and we got to put teeth into the law. So that first decline, when we start seeing those things happen, we need code compliance officers, and there are staffing issues in there as well. And those are hardworking people, and I know a lot of them. Linda Presley is one of them over in the Meadow Village Neighborhood Association. They love their code compliance officers. We need more of them. We need engagement. We need to make sure that they're coming in and they're ticketing, and we shouldn't have to wait 10 days. The process is easier for people to break the law than it is to adhere to the law. So we need to reverse that and get into accountability, into teeth, into the laws and the rules.
One more break here, and we come back with more from our candidates for District 6. I do know that code compliance officers work really hard, and they work really hard to work with the neighborhoods and give people plenty of chances to make things right on their neighbors, on their land, before they get fined or anything like that. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. The number to call in, 210-614-8980. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. District 6 residents get a chance to choose between Greg Brockhaus and Melissa Cavallo-Haverda to represent them on the San Antonio City Council. Election day is Saturday, June 10th. Our phone lines, if you want to call in, 210-614-8980. Let me ask a question. The City Council could be deciding soon on whether or not to sue the state of Texas on the Sanctuary Cities bill that was passed, saying that that this would interfere with San Antonio public safety. So, Greg Brockhaus, do you think the San Antonio should join other Texas cities in a lawsuit like that?
Well, we'd have to take a look at it. You know, if I'm elected, we have to take a look at the lawsuit. So we have to protect and represent the members of our community. And this is a public safety issue. It's also a human rights issue. It's an issue of just being good partners with our residents and our immigrant community as well. So I think we have to take a step back, and I have to actually see what this lawsuit would look like, read through it, and make sure I understand the ramifications of it. From a city leadership perspective, a city council perspective, we got to be careful, because we're contemplating SAPD officers being immigration control officers, right? Immigration control enforcement. They don't have the training. They don't have the time. They don't have the staffing. We don't have the facilities to handle these types of things. So the first thing that jumps out at me is when I heard Chief McManus talk about how in the world am I going to prepare my police officers to do these types of things. So I would want to make sure that all those issues are included if we're going to proceed forward with a lawsuit or any legal action, that we make sure it fits the needs of our police department, fits the needs of our immigration and control enforcement folks here in town, and that it fits the needs of our immigrant community and our residents as well. It's a public safety issue first and foremost, and I'm always going to fall back on that.
Now, Melissa Cavallo-Haverda, how are you on this, the possibility that San Antonio could join in a lawsuit with other Texas cities about the Sanctuary Cities bill that was passed and signed into law in this most recent legislative session?
The legislation that they passed goes against everything San Antonio stands for. We're a beautiful culture. We have celebrations that highlight the immigrant story, the Texas Folklife Festival, our fiesta. This legislation is imposing laws on us that detract from our earned status as a welcoming city. In today's economy, if you're not a welcoming city, you get left behind. We have to focus on creating new jobs, well-paying jobs, to attract a younger workforce. We're losing our local talent due to these types of laws, so we have to consider the economic impact the laws have on our city. We need immigration reform that's not hateful. I appreciate Chief McManus for speaking passionately against it. We need to be the voice of our values. San Antonio serving as a sanctuary city is the right thing to do, and I believe joining the lawsuit is the right thing to do.
Back to the phone lines. Lourdes is on the line, and Lourdes, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. My question is about pedestrian safety. I've seen a lot of close calls when driving. In fact, yesterday on my way home from work, I saw these pedestrians at get their light to walk in another vehicle making a left turn from opposing traffic right in front of them, and the young man jumped back, barely missing getting hit. And then when he passed in front of me, I said, "Are you okay?" He says, "Yeah," but he was shaking a little bit. So, you know, there was deaths last year with some middle school kids getting hit by a car. And, like, it's happened to me once when I was in downtown where I almost got. So how can pedestrian safety be enforced more on the part of the drivers who are in a hurry to go somewhere and don't really regard pedestrians as much as we all of us should?
All right, Lourdes, thank you for that call. Appreciate that. And so, Melissa, go first.
Walkability is a huge issue, I think, in our city, especially out in District 6. When I was growing up out there, there was a lot of green space, a lot of open areas where we could be safe as pedestrians, and not any longer. There's a lot of growth, and we have kids walking to school. It's clearly a public safety issue, and we're all more health conscious these days. We're trying to get out and walk more. So I think this is absolutely one of the most important issues out there, is not only preserving some of that space so that pedestrians have safe places to walk, but making sure that we are that's not happening. You know, we all worry about our kids walking to school, and that's actually happened to me block walking. I've had to jump onto the grass to make sure that a car didn't get too close to me. So I think it's absolutely an issue that we need to look at more closely and make sure that we have enough resources to get our officers out there and paying attention to this particular issue.
Now, Greg.
Well, I'd tell you that we have to get smarter about where walkability makes sense and where it doesn't. It's a transportation issue. Transportation helps us get to jobs and education, and it needs to make sense. We have places in District 6 where we're missing sidewalks for kids to get to school in the morning, and I think that's an absolutely terrible issue when you consider the wealth of our community and the things we can do at City Hall with the money we have to not have sidewalks around schools. That's a broken process. Over in the Piper's Meadow Neighborhood Association, they've been begging for street striping for months, and they can't get it done. You want to talk about public safety. We can't walk up or drive down those streets when you can't even tell what side of the road you're on. So we got to get back to the basics first and foremost and make sure that if calls are coming in for striping, for pedestrian issues, we handle them immediately or we're going to lose a life. And then we're all going to feel absolutely terrible about the fact we didn't do $500 worth of street striping. So we also have to think about where when we said walkability, we have, and TxDOT and other folks, and we have sidewalks down 1604. I don't know about any of you, but I'm not walking on a sidewalk on 1604. So smart thinking on where we put the sidewalks and protecting pedestrians first and foremost.
Well, let me ask you, there's been some talk possibly of lowering the speed limit for all residential areas in San Antonio, so that would be safer for pedestrians, but that needs to be done. That's a big question. So, Melissa, would you want to talk about that?
I would be open to that. I do worry, though, no matter the speed limit, people are going to break it, you know. So I wonder about the effectiveness of it. I wouldn't mind going a little slower, you know, making sure that everybody's safe, but I'm not sure the effectiveness of it, unfortunately.
And Greg Brockhaus?
I mean, sure. Lowering speed limits is fantastic, and I would be in support of it because we got to protect our resources and our children. A ball bouncing out into a street on that same Piper's Meadow Road without street striping, and a child gets hurt because people are speeding. Now, that's out of control. That also includes our buses, and there's a lot of folks that are driving really fast through neighborhoods. So that requires enforcement as well, and it requires laws that meet that expectation. So there's also fines and fees that have to go with it. But we go back. I've been block walking through the neighborhoods for a year now, and I could tell you it's happened to me many times where I've almost been hit. But the other side of that, flip side of that coin is the San Antonio Police Department. They don't have the staffing to be out there handling these kinds of issues. So if we're short hundreds of police officers, how do we expect to even manage that lower level issue of speeding in a neighborhood? So the process is much deeper than that. So we have to get the right enforcement opportunities in there. We got to hold people accountable to it. Lowering the laws is fine. That's easily handled. I would be on board with that, lowering the speed limit. But let's get back to accountability and making sure we're telling people, you do this, you're going to pay the price for it.
Okay, we've got one last caller with a question, and then we'll go to closing comments after that. And Mark, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Hi, Greg, Melissa. My question is this. I want the candidates just to explain what are the qualities and abilities that they possess that make them the ideal candidate for this position in District 6.
Okay, Mark, and go ahead, Greg Brockhaus.
You know, specifically, it's going to be leadership and the ability to speak exactly what's on the minds of the residents and the community, and to say it without fear or retribution or anything at all. I think we have to stand up for what we believe to be right and good in our community, and not be afraid to have a little bit of conflict. Now, the flip side of that is if we're going to go down there, and we're going to say what we think and believe, and we're going to fight for the district, which I think is my number one aspect on the resume. If we're going to go in there and fight for it, we have to also do it professionally, and then we have to part friends when we complete it and we finish it. So a professional goes down to City Hall and understands what it means to say, no, we're going to have these arguments and discussions in front of the public. We're not going to hide anything any longer, and we're going to make sure that we flip that script of who's in control at City Hall. We get it back in the hands of the elected official. I think that brings to bear my military experience and leadership there. I think it brings to bear my small business ownership and leadership experience, my time at City Hall as a chief of staff. You line all those things up. I just believe I'm the best qualified candidate at this time to lead our district going forward in the future.
Melissa Caveo Haver, though, why are you the most qualified candidate?
I'm a consensus builder. You need 6 votes to get anything done downtown. And I will advocate for my community, and I will fight when I need to fight for my community. But nothing's going to get done if I go down there and try to push everybody around and just doing it my way. I'm a collaborator, and that's what I have to offer. I own my own law firm. I have an MBA, raising a family. All of those help us. They help the entire community, all the traits that I have. But number one, I can build consensus. I can get us the votes for what we need in District 6.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and do our closing comments. And you start first, Melissa Caveo Haverda. Why are you running? What would be your top priority as city council member?
Okay. Our campaign started as a grassroots campaign. Going door to door, having cafecitos, speaking to neighborhood groups has led to a momentum and endorsements from community groups like the Texas Organizing Project, the Sierra Club, to community leaders like Judge Wolf and Representative Ina Minjarez. We see the politics of division, but San Antonio is about working together and keeping the lines of communication open. I'm pro-pre-K. I'm not a political insider. I am a consensus builder. And I can do that for our district. And we need to build trust with the police, with our city leaders, and bring back the family spirit that puts all of us at the table and raises our neighborhood voices. It's not just about one person's political agenda. It's about all of us.
Okay. Now, Greg Brockhaus, last word.
Well, I think you got to go back and you got to think about what it means to be a leader. And when you get down to City Hall, standing up for what's right in our community. For instance, we've been dead last in bond funding the last 2 cycles. That's an unacceptable answer to me. And, Melissa mentions building consensus. I understand that. And you've got to get down there. But you can't go down there and be one of 11 and just go along to get along. And endorsements matter. But the same people that Melissa said endorsed her were just recently endorsed her, and they weren't there for her at the beginning when it mattered most. So endorsements, yeah, the only endorsement that really matters is the endorsement of the residents of District 6. And that's who I'm going to fight for. Melissa and I just believe we're going to do it differently. So, and I can respect that, but frankly, political insiders, all this talk doesn't really reference how we're going to get the job done at City Hall. We can call people insiders. We can say special interests. We can say personal agendas. All those things don't add up. What adds up is what's the plan. I'm about to unleash that plan. I'm going to show it to the community. And pretty soon the community is going to see it. They're seeing it in the mail. They're going to see it on social media, exactly what that plan is for the community in the District 6 future.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.